Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. That's Ryan Finley. He is the sports editor of the Union Tribune. We're talking Padres. We're talking Padres Reds. Padres just got swept. First time this season. They've lost four in a row. The sky is falling. And I don't mean to say that. Like, I'm not trying to be facetious or trolling or anything. But, yeah. Ryan, what are your thoughts on that? Where would you like to start?
When we talked Friday about the Phillies, one of the questions I asked you about the Padres, Kevin, was this. Are they good? And we talked for 5 minutes about sort of the stuff that might indicate that the Padres are indeed a playoff contender and maybe some of the concerning things that continue to seed some doubt. The Padres then went out and played, I think, as poorly for two games as they played all year. I thought they rallied a little bit Sunday, but the end result's still the same. It's a sweep. Sort of, you're there every day. What's the pulse on this team right now, and what are they lacking and what are they missing?
Okay, so when you say as poorly, I think you're talking offense and defense, which are clearly very important, right? They actually played
two big parts. Yes.
Clean yes. Baseball. So like, I think they played uglier like games, but in terms of like, you were never in it. Well, I guess I'd have to go back to Toronto the first two games. they have barely led like at home in their last six games, which is two homestands because of how weird the schedule's been. Yeah, Ryan, like I'm in this weird spot because like it's April, right? And I have seen all these positives. However, they've lost four in a row. I don't want to talk about the record at this point in the season, but like, when are the stars going to show up? Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. have both gone nine games. Obviously, Manny was like 5 days earlier because he had the paternity leave, but they have both gone nine games, 38 at bats without a home run. Is that terribly long? No. Is it terribly long for them? Yes. Is it terribly long because they're being paid and they're being expected and the team is built around them to get hits with runners in scoring position, to get the big home run? Yes, it is. And it's right. Like, so that's something. You had Dylan Cease and Joe Musgrove get lit up this series. It happens. Has it happened a little too much with Joe? Yep. Does Joe deserve the benefit of the doubt? Yes. However, does that mean there shouldn't be any doubt? No. There should be some, you know, questions. Dylan Cease, okay, you had an off day and you had it against Ranger Suarez. Like, I can go still at this point in the season, go both ways, but I've got virtually zero problem with I have a problem with the sky is falling, but like, I got no problem with like, wow, there's some major concerns here.
Yeah. And you know, when Mike Schilt says after games that they need to play better against good teams, you know, I thought were pretty much outclassed from the first batter on in this series. Kyle Schwarber hits a home run against Joe Musgrove. And I think, Kevin, I want to start there. People love Joe Musgrove. He's a San Diego native. He delivered two of the most memorable performances in the history of his boyhood franchise. He is the San Diego native's favorite Padre, kind of across the board. And so when he struggles, I think people react. This is their guy, right? We've seen some clunkers from him this season. He had a shoulder injury that kept him out for a stretch last season. He's getting older, as are we all. At what point do we start to worry about Joe Musgrove being able to pull it all together?
It depending on what your definition of worry is, you could already be there, right? Like, right. Like, you know how athletes, you've been there. Athletes and coaches push back on the word worry, right?
Right, right.
But like, what is your definition? Is there some question? Is there some concern? Sure. Last year's early struggles, well, like he was coming off the toe and then he, you know, landed on his shoulder while at AAA and then he burned his feet while in Mexico City and there was all this stuff, right? This year, now it wasn't exactly a ringing no or a ringing endorsement of his health that he gave when asked about it after his start on, what was it, Friday?
Right. He said essentially it's always something, right? I've got a bunch of
rather than no, I'm totally good, which I'm not. I hate reading into stuff unless I'm really know, which like oftentimes I do, having been around a guy. I don't know exactly what to take from that. Look, you look at the metrics, the numbers. He's fine. Yes, his fastball's down a little bit, but then you look at his ability to close at bats, plate appearance. He's missing that. The outpitch, his command is off. Could it be entirely mechanical? Absolutely, it could. He's a man who relies on precision because of the the spin, because of the way that he kind of plays with batters or tries to. So could it be all mechanical? Yes. Well, got to get it fixed.
Right. I think that, you know, when you get cuffed around the way he did on Friday, that's one thing. When it's home runs, I think that's another thing. I mean, the Phillies bombed Petco Park this weekend with home runs, which is something the Padres just haven't been able to do. I mean, you look at Machado, Tatis, Bogarts. I mean, sort of the peripheral numbers on Bogarts are pretty putrid so far this season. Is there any way to make heads or tails of the big of the Padres' inability to hit homers at home?
Well, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper. Now you get down to Bryson Stott. But you know, then you're like, what's going on? Yeah. But JT Realmuto, I mean, that's a big time lineup. Okay. Mm-hmm. We think we got stars here. Like Bryce Harper is a star. Okay. Yeah. And his clutch numbers are good. And like always, basically mm-hmm. they could have just got bombed. This look team came in, they hadn't been hot. They got super hot. Right. Like mm-hmm. Padres have been there before. Been a while, but you know, okay, fine. I don't, other than that, like, why are those were some fat pitches, too? There's sometimes where you go, what was it? Joe gave up a home run, was it two starts ago on a pitch like at a guy's head,
mm-hmm. right?
Okay,
right.
No, the pitch, I can't think of a home run that was hit this weekend mm-hmm. that it wasn't like, yeah, that wasn't a good pitch,
right? Right. You know, like, right.
And so. You have a really good lineup in the Phillies and you have some pitching that wasn't on point. And, yeah. you know, Michael King, number one in the majors in home runs allowed at 10. Joe has 9. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. It'd be crazy to say that there wasn't reason for concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And when King has, you know, it's a bad combination for King too. He's giving up home runs and he's walking a lot of guys, right? When one lead, when one precedes the other, we got problems. How do they turn this around, Kevin? I mean, I know it's too early to talk about roster moves probably, but you know, we saw an awful lot of Jose Azokar and we've seen an awful lot of Tyler Wade and we're seeing an awful lot of Graham Pauly.
Are they the problem though, dude?
No. This is why we do this podcast, Kevin.
Are they I'm with you mm-hmm. and I'm the guy saying that they were going to get a bat and Donovan Solano's coming, but like, mm-hmm. Let me take a deep breath. Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogarts, for the love of God. Like, I mean, wrote about it last week. Bottom of the order. Wow. You know, especially Jackson Merrill. You know, Tyler Wade finds a way to get in the middle of stuff. Jose Azokar's batting almost 300. It's really cool. Like, good job, bottom of the lineup. That's how you win some games. That's not how you win a lot of games.
Right. Right.
Sorry to cut you off there. I'm just like blown away. We all, and it's our job and it's their job and it's fans' mm-hmm. job to look at all these things. Mm-hmm. Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Xander Bogarts. Average salaries north of, and I understand that Tatis hasn't come up that far and Manny's making less early in the, but average salaries exceeding $70 million combined.
Mm-hmm. Nearly $1 billion committed between the three of them, or however we want to break that down. It's yeah, you're right.
Now, and so then if this goes on, we not only have to look at them, right? Mm-hmm. Both short and long-term, but then we got to start talking about the decisions that were made.
Right.
Now, right. I got to tell you, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s process right now is phenomenal. I don't know what's going on and it's something I'm working on. Like, his plate discipline, the pitches he's choosing to swing at. Yes, is he missing some that, you know, like foul, yesterday he fouled one back that was like, wow, that should have been a home run, you know, being that it's Fernando Tatis Jr. But Fernando's process looks really good. Right. Manny, okay, so he was gone and then whatever. We don't know what he's working through. But like other than Correa, like that home run that kind of sealed the game, like mm-hmm. Do you have confidence? Like, you know, you have confidence when Manny Machado comes up because he's capable of that. But what has he done to make you go, oh, there's a runner on first or there's runners on second and third. And Manny Machado is going to, you know, give you a 3-run blast because you're down by two. What confidence do you have right now? Zero. If you're only looking at what he's done this year, Xander Bogaerts is clearly searching for something, man. There's times where it seems like he's just like doing everything he can to put that ball somewhere that someone ain't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of blown away by the continued, when are you going to stop wasting? Last year it was Ha-Sung Kim. This year it's Jake Cronenworth.
Mm-hmm. I said this last episode, and I'm going to say this again. The thing that scares me about this team is they're getting greater than expected performances from their first baseman right now, right? Mm-hmm. I would argue, Ha-Sung Kim maybe, certainly Jerickson Profar. Jerickson Profar is contributing to this team in a way that was not expected, right? Jackson Merrill is contributing to this team in a way that was not expected and cannot be counted on to continue, by the way, because he is 21 years old, right? Mm-hmm. Luis Campusano is a top five hitting catcher in baseball at the moment, isn't he?
I believe so. Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Robert Suarez has an ERA under one, doesn't he?
Yep.
You're getting performances from guys who are stepping up, and you're still, and again, it's April. I know it's April. You're still three games under 500.
You're making great points here.
And if these guys revert to the mean, if these guys go back to being who they are or who the back of the baseball card says they are, and if Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Xander Bogaerts don't go back to being who the back of the baseball card says they are, this is going to be a long year, Kevin.
I haven't looked at the Dodgers stats in the last week, I think. Mm-hmm. But take a look at the Dodgers last year. Take a look at the Dodgers. Remember when it was like a week ago, I think they were like a game over 500 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom of their order was batting 190 something.
Mm-hmm.
Top of their order was batting like 300.
Right.
The Padres are a much better team if Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado, and Fernando Tatis Jr. are raking, and the rest of those guys do revert to the mean, or a couple of them are, you know, batting 190.
Right.
That's just, it's like, yay, bottom of the order. I mean, absolutely. That's how you are a team that wins 100 games. That is right. But like, there is just a reason that you pay these guys what you pay them. I don't like to, I've never liked to talk about the money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people don't talk about my salary, right? Like, when you're talking about $20+ million, there's a reason you're making that. And so the money is germane to the conversation. They just absolutely have to be better.
Right. And there's a reason why these guys hit second, third, fourth in the order, right? Is you're putting them there because that is where your best hitters hit. And if they're not delivering, right? I mean, there's a strategy to hitting somebody fourth. It's he comes up more often with runners on and a chance to drive him in. Baseball 101. And if you're not delivering from that position, you have to pull your butt out of the fire some other way. And the Padres did a really good job of doing that for the first 2 weeks of the season, I thought.
Yeah.
And now not so much. Kevin, what you used the word worry earlier. What about this team is a minor concern? And what about this team is a potential for long-term worry?
It's weird. My first thought is like all of them are both. The starting pitching. Yu Darvish was inconsistent. He got hurt. Anytime that a 37, close to being 38-year-old goes on the IL and it's with like muscle kind of stuff, you're like, okay, you know, that's a concern. Obviously, we've already talked about Joe Musgrove, Michael King. Now, Michael King's had two phenomenal starts. Michael King is a good pitcher. Joe Musgrove is a good pitcher. So then I want to say, oh, well, that's minor. And they'll, well, I mean, and then we've already talked about the top of the order. I all of it at this point, and it's my job to like write about it all the time and talk about it all the time. So I make it a big deal, right? Just by the virtue of doing that. But then also like, okay, I'm not saying these things can't be fixed. And that's why I'm always looking at, okay, so I'm asking about like, what's the process by these guys? And I do buy into Mike Schilt's. Did you see the stat I had today? It's amazing. Does it mean anything for this year? I don't know. Do you know that Mike Schilt, he was a manager for 3.5 seasons. Now, one of them was the COVID season. That was incredible what the Cardinals did there. They played like half of their games were parts of doubleheaders. It was incredible because of all the COVID that they had going around there on their team and games postponed. He had a winning record and they missed the playoffs by like 3 games or something his first year when he took over when Mike Matheny got fired. So he really only had two full 162-game seasons. Mm-hmm. At the midpoint of both of those seasons, 81 games in, the Cardinals were 40-41. Mm-hmm. In 2019, they finished 50-31. Mm-hmm. In 2021, they finished 51-30. Mike Schilt is all about process at this point. And guess what? I think the process is pretty good. Mm-hmm. That is not going to do you a hill of beans if the three guys that I've passionately spent time talking about on this podcast don't perform. And if Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish aren't right, then right. Process is not going to do a hill of beans. You're going to win some games because Tyler Wade, Jackson Merrill, you know, Jurickson Profar, but you're not going to win enough games.
Right, right, right. I mean, if Matt Waldron is pitching against another team's ace, no disrespect to Matt Waldron, but, you know.
Well, there's a reason you're a number five starter.
Exactly. Same reason there's guys are number eight hitters, right? It's, hey, this isn't what's expected of you. What's expected is for you to give them 5 minutes.
Like some perspective on that. Like we talk about a number five starter, like we're dissing him. Not at all. Matt Waldron is in the major leagues and Matt Waldron could go on a heater here and be the best pitcher on the team. And that's fantastic. Except for, wait a minute, best pitcher on the team? Like, so what does that mean? Like, what's Dylan Cease doing? What's Joe Musgrove doing? What are Yu Darvish doing? What's Michael King doing? Like, it can happen for a while, but these guys have to get right.
One of the reasons why I contend, Kevin, that baseball is the best team game is because of sort of the leaky boat problem that pops up when some part of your pitching staff or lineup isn't doing its job. And I think that one of the things that we're seeing here with the Padres lately is when you're chasing starting pitching, when guys are getting bombed, coming out of games early, all of a sudden you're taxing a bullpen that frankly can't be taxed this way long-term, right? How do you see the bullpen responding to what's happened? I mean, Suarez's numbers are good, but he's basically a safe situation guy. How do you think they responded this weekend and do you anticipate any changes going forward?
Wasn't great. I think Tom Cosgrove probably is going to get some time to maybe work on some stuff down in the minors. You got to make a move for Yu Darvish to come back almost certainly Tuesday. And we'll get into the Reds here in a minute. So there's that. Cosgrove has been a little shaky. Everyone except Suarez has been a little shaky. De Los Santos, a lot of hit yesterday. His first inherited runner to score this season. It's been a lot of good points. And it was a week ago. I had this chart in the Padres Daily about four guys with a sub one ERAs. I think Suarez might be the last guy, or no, De Los Santos still is because he doesn't get a run yesterday. But when you talk about relievers, you've got to get into inherited runners and all that stuff. So Matsui, some troubles. Wandy Peralta, some troubles. That's how relievers go, though. Right. Yeah. Like, and so that's why, to your point, why you can't do that to them. The other thing is, remember when the Padres get a big lead, and what is the starting pitcher always sure to say? That gave me a lot of confidence. It made it easy on me. I was able to go out and just throw strikes. Oh, okay. So what's the converse? When the Padres are behind, what's the opposing starting pitcher? Like the offense to their, I'm not saying that this is an excuse, but to in the offense's defense, down 4-0 after one, down 4-0 after two, after three. Like, now you know that every at bat, and you can say all you want, every at bat's a situation and all that. Great, great. And I did see more fight than I maybe saw last year. And that's part of the process that I'm saying, okay, maybe in the future that is a good thing. I'm not, sky is falling. But like, they can't play like that all the time. And that's why I was rolling my eyes when I talked to guys about, well, this is great. This is like 2-3 weeks ago, whatever. Like, this is great, the comebacks, but you can't do that every night. Oh, no, we can come back from anything. Okay, guys. Okay. No. And I take no satisfaction that has been proved right, because I didn't need it to be proved right, because you can't play from behind every night, or you're the Rockies.
Right.
You know, the Rockies have like 7 comeback wins or something. Like, that's because they've been behind in every game.
Right. Well, and not every game can be a scramble, right? I mean, you can't, not to mix my sports metaphors here, but, you know, you can't be pressing and trapping every night for 162 games trying to chase or trying to eliminate a deficit. It takes too much energy. It saps you.
Winning 15-0 every night for 162 games would be a grind.
Right, right.
You make an excellent point. Like, this is by far the most mentally / physically taxing game there is. Now, they play 162. You couldn't play 162 in soccer in 6 months. You couldn't even do that in basketball. You couldn't do that in football for sure.
Right.
But in terms of 162 over 183 days or something,
right,
it is brutal, man. So that's a really good point. Like, how many times since the start of last season have the Padres had a cakewalk? Right. Do I need two hands to count it?
Yeah.
Unless no, it was a cakewalk right. the other way.
Exactly. Right. Unless it's one of those cakewalks where, Ha-Sung Kim's on the bench in the sixth inning. Manny Machado's off his feet, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, let's get into the Reds real quick. I know we don't have a ton of time here, Kevin. Nick Lodolo versus Matt Waldron on Monday night. Man, the weird Monday home game. I'm sorry. I'm frazzled. Nick Martinez pitches game two, old friend against Yu Darvish, expected to be activated off the DL. And then you get into Graham Ashcraft, Joe Musgrove here on Thursday. What do you make of the Reds? Or Wednesday, what do you make of the Reds, Kevin?
Well, first thing you got to talk about is Ellie De La Cruz, 18 stolen bases, 7 homers. Fernando Tatis Sr. says that there's only two players that he stays up late to watch. And that's his son and Ellie De La Cruz. So tonight he gets to see them all both of them in the same game. Absolutely incredible. He changes a game. He's got a 360 something on base, which means, just quick math. He's on base almost 40% of the time. That's his problem. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch during these games, is how you keep Ellie De La Cruz from stealing second, third, and home on you, at least getting himself into scoring position. I've seen Graham Ashcraft, the Wednesday starter, do some bad things no matter where he's at in the season. The Padres have not matched up well against this kid since he's been in the majors. So
he has a 1.42 ERA in two appearances against the Padres.
And I think I remember last July when he came in, it was like a 6, or he was just like now, whereas like he had not been doing well. And then boom, the kid's a good pitcher, and they're just pitchers that do match up well. Now, Padres have seen him a lot, and new hitting coaches, all that stuff. We'll see. Nick Martinez struggled a little bit in this new team. That will be very interesting. So Nick Lodolo, this is probably, if you just look at it, this is the toughest, right? And you've got going against Matt Waldron in terms of how Nick Lodolo is having a good season. So I have not looked at his game logs. Just looking at his numbers. And so this is it's a scrappy team. Padres have done fairly well against them here. For a while now. But this is a new kind of team with Ellie De La Cruz in it.
I think the Reds are fun as heck to watch. Yeah. I do. I don't let their reputation and what they've done the last 10 years fool you. I think that this is a super interesting team. Kevin, as we wrap up here, a couple former Padres on the Reds heading into this series. Nick Martinez, who's the game two starter, and then Emilio Pagan coming out of the bullpen. Of the former Padres who are someplace new this year, who has impressed you the most?
Just this year?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Of the guys who they lost this offseason. This is a loaded question because I've got a pick. Go ahead.
Well, you're going to have to tell me your pick because, quite honestly, I've only gotten snippets here and there. I'm not paying attention to the Royals, who are Padres Midwest.
Well, I was just going to say, and it's a Royal. The answer to me is a Royal.
Is it going to be Hunter Renfro? I hope it's Hunter Renfro.
No. Seth Lugo. I thought okay. Seth Lugo's been.
I love me some Seth Lugo.
Been dealing this year. Have you had a chance to watch?
Yeah, I have not.
Have you had a chance to watch Juan Soto at all this year as a Yankee?
I have seen a lot of Juan Soto, and that would probably be my answer.
Okay.
I mean, what are we seeing in New York, responding with the contract over you? He has a lot going against him in New York. Expectations. Mm-hmm. He's horrible on defense. And if you're going to somehow make it happen there, then I got a lot of respect for that.
Agree. It seems like every time I turn on SportsCenter, he's doing something good.
Partially because he's Juan Soto and he's on the Yankees, but yes.
That's a great point. East Coast bias, as they say.
Hey, look, it's real, and partially because, Yankees have won a lot of championships, and there's, millions and millions more people there and along that seaboard there. But yes, that's real. That is a real thing, the East Coast bias.
Absolutely. That'll do it
for 3 hours ahead of us, so just do the math.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin, let's wrap it here. Padres Reds 3-game series. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin, next time I talk to you, we'll be talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks
and your team
and a trip to your favorite city in the world, Phoenix.
I love Phoenix, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. It's the ballpark.
It's Chase Field. I get it.
It's just a depressing place to watch baseball. However, they are an exciting team in many respects. You're going to go see some good pitching for the most part. It's better when the Diamondbacks are better just to go watch baseball, but the ballpark's terrible. But I love it. It's a very simple city to get around. It's hot enough that it keeps the downtown streets fairly clear. It is hot, by the way. I'm looking at like 90s when I'm there. So.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it, Kevin. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. We'll see you next time.